Trees, branches, tree limbs, and everything. Dogs barking. Heck, it's a party, Marty. Let's do some radio here on a Wednesday. How are you?
I am fine, and the stack of limbs in my front yard is now getting huge. So,
I'm just happy none of them hit your house. That's the important part.
I am, too. I'm delighted they haven't hit my house. It's pretty hot for all those guys that are out there working, and there's scout out there helping, too. The crew's out there trying to get it done, and I really... I feel bad for them because it's hot out there. But they took a rest under the shade tree, so hopefully they're feeling fine. And at any rate, and my puppy dog seemed to be sleeping through it, so we'll cross our fingers and hope that we get through this, because I wanted to share with you some of the things going on here in the county. And I think we talked maybe briefly about this when we spoke last about the fact that some people in the county, of the county council, some members of the business community, et cetera, have a keen interest in trying to find an alternative location for the jail, because the location that is being discussed right now by the county commissioners there at North Park, that price tag on that looks to be close to $12 million. We've got the appraisals back, so we don't really know yet what the offer is going to be, but there's a thought by many that there's this alternative site would be millions and millions less money. And though it's not as much, it's not as large, but there's 20 buildable acres where this other location is, which is at the corner of Vernal and Woodyard. And so, and the great part about that is, of course, that direct connection that right straight into Bloomington, and there's going to be another new connection going over to Gates Drive, you know, over to the shopping center. So, and it's walkable, as one of the council members said, told me last night, it's walkable to the bus location, and it's walkable to the county park, and it's very close to the fire station. So there's lots of reasons why this location has some good points going for it. And, of course, as being a county council member, one of the best points that I'm thinking of is that so many, it appears it's going to be a savings of at least $6 million.
Now, when we talk about a savings of $6 million, is that just $6 million more we can put into the project on the ground?
Well, wouldn't that would have to be, if you pay less money for the location that we're going to put the facility, that leaves the money to put into the facility so that perhaps the bond issue, that means the taxes to pay back the bond might not be as bad.
Sounds like a plan to me.
I mean, I just think if we don't at least give it a shot to take a look at it. Now, what I'm hearing from the commissioners is that's just simply off the table. They're not even going to consider anything else other than North Park right now. That their focus is on North Park. But, you know, any time you have an opportunity to save millions of dollars, it would seem to me that we have an obligation to the public to at least consider it. And, you know, and I admit, I'm down on my Ellsville hat. The Ellsville folks did not want it over here in North Park. I know that there's a lot of business people who don't want it there. Health providers and so forth, are they interested in having it there? But let's at least have an open conversation, because just to say that, you know, the conversation's over, this is not, you know, we're not going to give anyone else an opportunity to weigh in. And we don't have any documents that says that we are obligated to move forward with North Park. So, of course, I want to say what we can now, and I would not even consider doing it if I thought there wasn't enough acreage there. But with 20 acres, I've been told over and over again that is enough to do the project. So,
The interesting part is why it would not be considered. That's the hang up. I get there. Why is that not even going to be considered? Is it because of a money issue or?
Well, it's because they think they've already made up their mind.
Okay. I didn't know there was a deadline.
With your money, they've made up their mind.
Well, you know what? But this is what happens if you these people we know are in charge of these decisions. And we have elections, and we do all this. So I don't know what else to tell people, Marty. We try to make people aware of the situations every Wednesday. But if it's they're going to do it because they said they're going to do it, well, then I guess then it's done.
Except that they, in order for the commissioners just move forward with this and say they're not going to consider any other location, even though they told the group at Ellisville that it was not a final decision, and they, you know, were still looking. And so then when the group from Ellisville found another location, now they're saying, too late. No, we're just focusing on North Park. So it will be interesting to see if the public is going to step up and say, you told us you would consider something else. Now here's something else. And let's at least look at it. And
how does the public do that, Marty? Do they go to the 10 a.m. meeting and leave their jobs to do that? Or do you write a letter? How does this work?
Well, I hope that they'll, you know, make sure that the newspaper knows about it, that goes on Facebook, that, oh, I don't know, that we talk about it on WGCL.
I'm with you.
Whatever we can do. Now, do I think it will make a difference? Well, I hope so, because if it doesn't, then that means we really don't have the kind of elected government that we should have that would listen to different opinions and ways that we can provide a service without spending more dollars than what we absolutely have to. And I wouldn't want anybody to think this was a method to slow down the project, because there's absolutely no reason why it would slow down the project. The utilities are there. It's zoned light industrial. If it needs to be changed to any other kind of a zoning for a jail, that can happen because it's in the county and the county's in charge of that zoning. And so there's really no reason. Now, the commissioners are probably telling you that it's not as big as they want. They want a park and ride. They want a big parking area so they can have a park and ride for people and X, Y, and Z, all these other things that might be a good idea if, you know, as long as somebody else is paying for it. But guess who the somebody else is?
You, me. Why can't we have a referendum on this issue? How do referendums work? I know they're expensive to do. That's part of it, right? But we can't simply just put this on the ballot in November and say, hey, here's what we think to do on this. Explain the governmental part of this to our listeners.
Right. If this was a property tax issue, then, you know, with the dollar amount for it, it probably, you know, would have been required. I don't want to play lawyer here because I don't. at one point in time, it was if you did a bond for any more than a certain dollar amount, it would have to be on a referendum. But I don't know for sure what the legislation says on that now. However, look what it's going to be. It's going to be an income tax. So if you live here, no matter if you're paying, if you're making income, then you are going to be the one who is going to help pay for this. And so I think we have an obligation to tell the public we're doing everything we can to do this in a cost-effective manner. And somebody said, well, you're just trying to do it on the cheap. Well, guess what? That is not correct. There's a difference between being cost-effective and being responsible about using public dollars and trying to do something on the cheap, because sometimes you get penny wise and pound foolish when you do that. But of course, we'll just have to wait and see. Now, if you've got four county council people, it takes four for this vote to go through, At some point in time, if four says, yes, we're going to go and do what the commissioners are requesting, commissioners can't do it on their own. They have to, the law says, the legislation says that the county council, by ordinance, must approve any legal obligation that would cover the terms and conditions of the purchase of a property over 1,000 acres. $1,000. So, you know, it definitely is up to the county council, the same as its county commissioners, and there's nothing in the legislation that says it has to be the commissioners to find this. They just need to work together, commissioners and council, to bring this together. But it will take four council people to say, we really want to take a look at this other property and with eyes wide open to see what we can do to provide this service at in a cost-effective manner. And so we'll just see if they do this or not.
Well, it'll be interesting, and Marty Hawk will keep us in the loop every Wednesday when she joins us. The county councilwoman checks in just after 4:05 on Wednesdays. we'll be right here waiting. I understand the game and how this works to some degree. Is there some kind of give and take in here that has to go on to make this switch around, or has it just come down to a hard line vote? You've been around this game a long time, Marty, so I know you know that you're not going to project what's going to happen, but you've seen deals in the past maybe work out. I don't know.
Well, right, and I think it will take people to say to the commissioners, we respect the work that you've done and the money that's been put into investigating these other locations, but if this other one has a chance of working, then let's get some people out there and take a look at it. Let's you know, find out what can work and what won't work. I know that at least I've been told that the chamber is interested, as well as the Elso Chamber folks are interested in trying to make sure that we put it in a location where it's going to work and still be cost effective. And then also recognizing that sometimes if you take up good buildable space that could be used to create jobs in the private sector, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that we're growing those private sector jobs too. So that's a part of the reason one would think that the, you know, business community would have an interest in this.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping they'll step up and tell us what they think about what it is, the direction we should go, because this is a huge undertaking, and we're talking about a bond issue that's going to go on more like 20-some years. And so people will be paying taxes on this for 20-some years. So this is not something that's going to go away and be gone in a year or two.
Yeah, we can't yell about it away. It has to be paid away. That's how this.
Right, and if we use up all of the edit money for this jail situation, when the other taxing units have been able to use their edit money to provide for other services and grow their services, and we use all of ours just for the jail and jail operations, that's going to leave us shortchanged for other things that we're going to have to do. And believe me, at some point in time, that means we'll have to figure out some other revenue source. So I think we owe it to the people to do the best we can to move this forward. I'm not trying to slow it down. Move it forward in a cost-effective manner.
Yeah,
that's
be
what
fiscally
I'd like
responsible.
To see. It's just, let's try to be responsible about this thing. Now, the Board of Commissioners didn't meet today. They canceled their meeting, and they canceled one for next month, too. I don't know, maybe they're taking a summer break, sort of. But some way or the other, it's all got to come together.
Well, maybe that's the time to reflect and take a deep breath instead of hurrying up and perhaps causing more headache than getting a solution to this problem. What's happening at the Monroe County Airport, Marty? I saw a headline on that. I didn't get caught up with what's going on out there.
Oh, right. Oh, it's so exciting, and I do hope that they're going to be able to get all the dollars that they're hoping to find to put some of that together. They'd really like to get a new tower, a control tower. They would also like to do something about the station. I mean, my daughter and I were out there, and we were taking pictures the other day at the airport, and it shows its age. You know, they've done a good job of trying to take care of everything, but when you talk about that control tower was like, trying to remember how many years ago, I think that was in the 70s, and all of that equipment and so forth is dated, so it's time to, you know, put some dollars in there. And of course, we rely on that airport for services for Crane and for businesses, as well as for IU and sports and all kinds of things. So, but they're working, the airport's working, trying to get grant dollars to pull this all together. And of course, it'll take some local dollars. But at some point in time, we've got to watch, because there's just an amount. We are fortunate here. We have more tax dollars coming in than most folks in other locations throughout the state. However, this ARPA money is not going to be around forever. You know, you've got to get that. That's not going to be there for us to go to, that America Rescue Plan. And so we've got to start watching what we're doing. We should have been watching all along. And they've worked hard, I think, to try to provide for the residents of the county what they could with those dollars. But we won't always have extra dollars to put into things like for the airport and for the parks and so forth. But it's amazing how much our county has grown just in services over the last few years. Just drive around and look at the beautifully paved roads all the way out in the county on Howard Road and Starnes Road. But in doing that, we were seeing all of the debris stacked up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how the cleanup project's going out there, because last time we talked, we were looking for some more money. Are we going to have enough money? Can we get through this? Can we do that? Where do we stand today?
Well, we did put more money into the kitty last night. I found the numbers that they were saying and giving to us from the emergency department was somewhat questionable, and I think she thought so too, that the amount that they had already tonnage that they'd already had stated had been removed, and how much was projected to be removed. And we were saying, well, this doesn't, something about it just doesn't sound like it would be enough. But I think the county council, and let me run those numbers by you. They said that so far, they've been told that the company has picked up, that we've contracted with, they have picked up 8,016 yards of debris. And what they think, what we've been told, what will it take to finish up is another 5,600 to go. Now, if they are only not even halfway through with Perry Township, how are they going to get all the rest of the townships done and finish up Perry? And it would be less than what they've done so far.
Well, that's,
see, that those numbers just don't make sense to
well
me.
Unless the damage is highly concentrated in one area. I don't
here's what I've learned.
Every day we get deeper into this process, it seems like we find more things that we didn't think possibly could have been damaged. This storm was something else.
It really was. And what you're dealing with here is when you've got that much dry debris pulled to the road, then you're talking about that's dangerous, as well as, you know, it could get into the ditches and the stormwater removal and so forth. So we'll just see what happens at the end of the day, whether how much money it's really going to take to do this. Now, I understand there has to be a cutoff time at some point in time, or that's all we would ever get done. And there's not enough money to constantly cover debris removal just here, there, and yon, unless it's like a major disaster situation that we've recently had. But so they have to find a way to say this is what we're going to do and now we're done. But certainly I believe that the county needs to step up and honor what the commitment they made that said, yes, they were going to do it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So we're trying to find the money to get it done.
We talked to Adam Wason yesterday, the director of Public Works for the city, and he said, yeah, they're going to go through the rest of this week, and that's what it is. And we'll just have to grin and bear it from that point forward and try to get through everything at least once. And I know if you find more trees and more limbs and the next storm blows through, that's just a tough deal. 50,000 people and more out of power. I saw the city's report where they thought they lost, 2,000-3,000 trees. That's a lot of stuff, Marty Hawk. Gee whiz.
It really, really is. And that's one of the things that we're talking about to have ready, at the ready, and have budgeted for every year. That doesn't mean you keep adding on to what you've already budgeted, but make sure we have budgeted every year in three different categories to cover emergency relief and have that in the rainy day fund. That is what we've been advised by our financial advisors, that we need to start doing that. So $1 million in three different categories. So that we'll be looking at when we do our budgets, as well as last night, the Sheriff's Department, those folks were coming and asking for assistance with their retirement plans. So that's going to be another big hunk of money. So getting ready for the budget this year, hang on, folks, because this is going to be a crazy ride.
Well, just about every year with the budget, you always find some fun things going on. When do your budget talks start so people can start getting that into their calendar?
Well, of course, once you hit June 30th, that's when you have your halftime. It's like a game, okay? It's halftime. And so you know what all your balances are as of June 30th, and that it gives you the numbers to start plugging into your financial statement. And then we will start getting all of the different revenue projections coming from the state that we can also plug in there for what we think our revenues are going to be. Now, we know that our revenue growth for our levy funds tied this year for this next year's growth is at 4%. So we know that. And so then the others you can make estimates of, and we'll see where we go. This is how much money we have, and this is how much that people are asking for in the different budgets, and where we might need to make adjustments, because you can't always do everything you'd like to do.
Isn't that the truth?
Aren't you glad? Because if we do it, then we're doing it with your money.
Well, that's it, and that's why Marty Hawk joins us every Wednesday to keep an eye on your money and how it moves through the system, or how we can use it in its best ways and the most flexible ways, Marty. So come back next week. We know we'll have more to talk about. It'll be the final day of July next Wednesday, July 31st. Enjoy it, stay cool, and we'll get caught up with you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.